A carnivore diet refers to the consumption of animal-based foods. People who follow a carnivorous dietary pattern eat almost exclusively only meat and other animal-based foods. And you're about to learn everything about it. Welcome to Carnivore Today. All things carnivore, ketogenic living, and metabolic health. If you're looking to shed those extra pounds, reduce your dependency on prescriptions, or even heal metabolic disorders, we've got you covered. It's all about the latest research, success stories, and we'll give you practical tips to help you thrive on your wellness journey. And we're also here to quell some misconceptions about it.
What about fiber? Won't I explode without eating fiber?
Fiber is not necessary.
I'll get fat eating all that fat.
No, you will not.
I'm not going to have any energy because no carbs.
You'll have more.
I'm going to have a heart attack from eating all that red meat.
False.
Carnivore Today, where your health journey begins. Now your host, Adam Lacey.
Today, we're with Lori with Carnivore Cheer, and I truly appreciate you joining me today for this interview to get your take on the carnivore lifestyle and what this has done for you to help you in your life. And Lori, could you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, I appreciate everybody who's watching, and I am Midwestern born and raised. I was born in suburban Chicago, and we lived there for a couple of years. My father's sales job took us around the Midwest, so I've lived in Nebraska, Missouri, and Iowa. And then after my father died, we moved to upstate New York, where my mother's family was from, and that's where I went to high school. And I went to college in Buffalo, New York, and I went to grad school in Rochester, New York, where I have a master's degree in instructional technology, and I have been working as a technical writer full-time for the last, lots of years, and I love technical writing. It's very, very challenging. I am past retirement age now, but I'm still working full-time, but one of these days, I'll want to get the urge to retire. I'm not sure when that is, though. And so I'm currently living in Northern California, just outside of San Jose, California. And that's where our office is, where I work. And I also do volunteer work for the Professional Society of Technical Writers. I'm currently on their board of directors. And I have mentored tech writing students. And I have served in different communities and help groups of tech writers kind of get started as communities and learn leadership skills, things like that. Yeah. So that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
That's awesome. So Northern California, how's the weather out there?
The weather is quite nice. It's starting to cool down now. And we're expecting a weather pattern called El Nino. So we're probably going to get a lot of rain in the next several months. And that's okay. We need it out here in California, but we've been spoiled by the nice weather over the last several months. So it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment to deal with walking off the rain, but I'll manage.
That's awesome. Yeah, the technical writing thing, I can definitely appreciate what you're doing, especially if you've been doing it for a long time. I did a little bit of that with a... Yeah, I had a position at a company creating manuals for special machinery and very, very technical. And I'm going to tell you right now, it was not for me.
Okay. Well, I've done hardware documentation before. And now I document software. And it's a little bit different because of the software. You can go in on your machine and pound around on the product and really get to know it, but it's a little harder to do that with hardware. So I appreciate how that might have been, had its drawbacks.
A lot of, pictures of different pieces and components of the machines and, how to set tooling and things like that. And then they did have an HMI. So I did have to, go into the software element of it too, but it wasn't probably quite as extensive as what you're doing. But yeah, that was... Yeah. Definitely not for me.
Well, I document I document network security products, and that's very it's a very important field to be in right now because, you know, with the internet and all kinds of opportunities for people to hack into other people's systems, you know, the products that we make help protect against that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, you're providing a great service for sure. Definitely.
Well, I hope so.
Awesome. So we connected through Dr. Berry's private group, and
yes.
Definitely interested in learning more about, you know, why you chose the dietary approach that you did. So can you kind of give us a little bit of a history of maybe why you chose to eat low carb, zero carb, carnivore, keto / diet?
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, some people talk about, you know, they're asked, how did you find the carnivore diet? Mm-hmm. And I have to say that the carnivore diet found me, because in looking back on my lifelong pattern of eating, several things emerged. When I go back all the way as far back as I can remember, I have always loved meat ever since I was a tot. And I remember from when I was a very small child, you know, my mother was an excellent cook. And she was not an adventurous cook, but she could cook a roast, a fried chicken, the most fantastic Thanksgiving turkey dinner you ever ate. And, you know, she was just very good at that good old-fashioned American meat and potato type of cuisine. And that was fine with me. And so, sure, the first pattern was that I always loved meat. So I would clean the chicken, the beef, the roast, anything else off my plate, no problem. Pattern number two was that I didn't like vegetables. And I, that was very, very obvious, both to my mother and to me. Now, I'm the youngest of five children, and I'm the only one of the five of us that clearly and distinctly did not like vegetables. And my mother didn't know what to do because she thought it was important for me to eat vegetables, but I would just not touch them. And she tried to sneak them in as many ways as she could, you know, make casseroles with peas and carrots. And I eat the casserole and pick out peas and carrots. You know, so that was a very clear pattern. Pattern number three was that it became clear early on that I love carbohydrates. I love potatoes. Very early on. So we had a meat and potatoes meal. We had a baked potato. No problem. I love baked potato. So vegetables were the only thing on my plate that I just kind of rebelled against. So those three patterns, you know, were very, very clear. Unfortunately, carbohydrates started to dominate the eating scene for me. And despite that, I was a very slender, kind of wiry, energetic, tomboyish child. And I had lots of energy. When I got a two-wheel bike, for example, when I was about 8 years old, I took off on that thing like a shot. And I could outride any kid in the neighborhood. I could ride so fast, and I would just ride for hours and hours. And, you know, I was like, I had a very strong independent streak, as far back as I can remember. And instead of doing things for family, I prefer to hop on my bike and just ride around the neighborhood and find kids to ride with and stuff. And, you know, I always had tons of energy and a lot more physical presence than most of the girls that I went to school with, for example. You know, I could run faster, I could kick harder, I could throw farther than just about any girl I knew. And this, you know, happened all through my childhood. And despite the fact that I was noticeably eating more and more carbohydrates, I was getting into snacks and I loved potato chips. And so we went to things like the state fair or something. I lucked up at the snacky places and get cotton candy and, you know, potato chips and all that stuff. And, but I was still very, not underweight, not dangerously thin, but just very, very slender. I didn't have an extra ounce of fat on me when I was a child. Then adolescence. And then that's when my body started filling out and getting more curvy, and my arms got thicker. And I didn't like what was happening to my body, even though I wasn't really, I had tomboyish aspects, but I didn't mind wearing dresses and stuff. I didn't mind dressing up briefs or stuff, but I didn't like this puffiness. My face started puffing up, all these things that typically happen when a girl's body starts to change. I didn't like any of it, but despite that, I still had more physical prowess than a lot of girls. Like in gym class, I could do more push-ups than the other girl. I could throw a volleyball. I could kick harder. I could jump on a trampoline faster. But I was starting to kind of feel less desire to be physically active, and that kind of scared me a little bit. I knew it was happening, but I didn't really fully comprehend it. Mm-hmm. And I developed for the first time in my life a pot that was protruding abdomen, and that just was horrifying to me. And it was probably because of the increasing number of carbohydrates I was eating. And then as I got into my teen years, there was, that's when a lot of girls were very conscious of looking pretty and stuff and wanted to go on that diet. Then you start hearing diet language, like the diet starts tomorrow, or I'm on a diet, or I am dieting, I'm watching my eating, that kind of stuff. And unfortunately, calorie counting was a big deal back then. And some of the formal weight loss programs really put thrust on calories, get your calories down, calories in, calories out. And of course, we know a lot more about that. We know that whole idea is not really as logical and effective as we thought it was back then. So then by the time I was 15, my body was kind of, it looked puffy. I had a protruding abdomen. I was starting to put on weight. And so then when I was 15, I decided I gotta take off some pounds. And of course, I thought the best thing to do was just drastically reduce the number of calories that I consumed every day, which I did. Yeah. And so I lost maybe 10 pounds, but that was the beginning. And we all know the metaphor of that beloved children's toy, the yo-yo. That's when the yo-yo diet started for me. That was a pattern that continued in my life for the next 4 decades.
Wow.
And, yeah. I lost about 10 pounds. And a year later, I gained it back, plus a couple extra. A year later, I gained 15 pounds, lost it, gained it back, plus 5 more. Over and over, this happened. And both of my parents died at that. My father died of a heart attack when I was 16. My mother died of a brain aneurysm when I was 18. So there was a lot of sadness and struggle in the family. My brothers were in the service. My sister was in college. After dad died, my mother was absolutely devastated. And she just could hardly function. So I became the parent. She became the child. So at age 16, I felt I had some caretaking responsibility. And I wasn't eating right. I was eating tons and tons food and starting with yo-yo pattern. And I began to recognize, but I didn't quite fully mindfully understand it, that food was starting to comfort. Food was talking for me. It helped. Mm-hmm. I thought it would just help me deal with all the stress and, worry about my mother. And, she was so devastated. Her, drinking problem got worse, and I was so afraid for her. And then after she died, I was only 18 years old, just started college, and I had to become an adult pretty fast. And I didn't know how to deal with, I was dealing with some unprecedented stress for someone my age. And I think I kind of knew that, but it just seemed like eating was a fun thing to do. It was something that, with all the other problems and things to figure out. And eating was something that never caused a problem. I could just sit down and, you know, have a nice big old helping of potatoes or, you know, grab some cookies or something. And that was always like kind of the place that didn't cause me any trouble. But what I didn't realize, of course, what it was causing my body a ton of trouble. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so, you know, the yo-yo pattern went on and on. Finally, when I was probably in my late 30s, my blood pressure shot up. And the other thing that happened was the yo-yo stretches were getting, the yo-yo string was getting bigger. So it was now gainer moves. It went from 15 pounds to gainer moves 20 pounds, gainer moves 25 pounds. And before I knew it, I had gained 50 pounds.
Wow.
And I hated the way I looked. I had lots and lots of self-esteem issues anyway because of the way I was raised. And I just, you know, I was on a coercion course. And I think I kind of knew that way in the back of my mind, but I didn't want to think about it. So mm-hmm. I just went on and on and with a body I hated. And, you know, I was dealing with job stress and family stress, and eating was always kind of the took the edge off the thing. And when my blood pressure shot up, that was like, you know, kind of a warning signal for me that this was headed nowhere fast. And so I lost a bunch of weight. I lost another 30 pounds. Then a year later, I gained it all back and on and on and on. And then my digestion just started to go to pieces. I was having stomach aches and everything else and lots of, you know, bowel trouble and everything else. And all of this just, you know, finally I started to lose some weight and I wasn't gaining it back, but I was only gaining some of it back, but not all of it. So mm-hmm. I figured that was a small victory anyway. And, you know, I was just having tons and tons of digestive problems. And that kind of came to a head, you know, about 4 years ago when I had a colonoscopy and my whole colon was completely screwed up. It was a real disaster area and I was so uncomfortable. And the doctor thought she could save part of my colon. And I said, well, you know, if it turns out that you have to take it all out, I'm not afraid of that. I just want to live a normal life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did have colorectal surgery and they removed the entire colon. And that was a huge adjustment for me, but it also solved a lot of problems and it also created a challenge. Where do I go with my eating now?
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I had a huge problem with the carbohydrates, and that was probably a huge contributing factor to all the nonsense that was going on in my body. And I thought, you know, how am I going to deal with this? And I had heard of people talking about the ketogenic diet. You know, they're talking about keto. And from what I understood, it was like you really cut the carbs or drastically reduce them. And I felt, well, I can't do that. I can't imagine not having toast for breakfast or, you know, help right. potatoes with my meal. I couldn't do that. You know, I was Miss Carbohydrate America, you know. But the problem was by that time, the tiara that I wore as Miss Carbohydrate Queen was a crown of shame because my body had fallen apart. I didn't like the way I looked. I was reacting to stress badly. The, you know, all of the stresses of my life, personal job, everything else, I just didn't know how to deal with them. And the only thing that took the edge off was food. And I thought, what am I going to do? You know, people talked about going keto and saying, oh, well, I have chicken pot pie and I didn't eat the crust. And I thought, but the crust is the best. All right, I couldn't do that. And like the first thing I went through was the keto. And I thought, well, maybe I ought to try just cutting out the really the most horrid carbs I can think of. Potato chips, the crackers, the cookies, you know, because I knew, like, you know, put a plate of chocolate chip cookies in front of me, you know, eat. And so I came to understand that maybe there was some correction I could do here that I desperately needed to do. So I decided to just step it down. So I thought I'll cut out the really obviously, clearly junk carbs, potato chips, everything else, and I'll stick with my crackers and soup, crackers and my soup. And so I went with that for a while. And then I heard of a concept called intermittent fasting. I had never heard of this before, where you have an eating window of maybe 6 to 8 hours, and then the rest of the time you do not eat at all. And that gives your body a chance to kind of recover from the work of eating. It, you know, prevents your pancreas from constantly secreting insulin and all this other stuff. And I thought that's pretty interesting, you know, because I had always believed in the notion of 3 meals a day, don't skip breakfast, you know, that kind of stuff. So I thought maybe I can try this. What I'll do is I'll have my English muffin for lunch with my crackers instead of breakfast. So I did start, you know, I ate my first meal at noon, my second meal at 6-ish or so, and then I would not eat until the day. And it was a little bit of a, I had to kind of grab my seat a little bit, but I got used to it faster than I thought I would. And then I thought, you know, I'm still eating too many carbs. I gotta step it down even further. So I'll try the soup without the crackers. And once again, I was like, okay, I want the crackers, but I'm going to eat soup without them if it's the last thing I do. And I somehow managed to do it. I just had to, you know, bite my tongue a few times, but I managed to cut the crackers out. And then what was left was the English muffin. I love English muffins with tons of butter on them. And I thought this was going to be the toughest thing of all to give up. And I thought, I'll just do it this morning. And I'll eat my English muffin tomorrow. So I decided to take it one day at a time. The next day, I'll just skip it this morning. And the one day at a time approach worked, and I got into a pattern of having lunch without the English muffin. And I was very, very close to being done with carbs. The last holdout was potatoes. I love potatoes. And I had read up about potatoes, you know, that they're very high glycemic index food, and they really aren't good, you know, if you're trying to manage your blood sugar, because my oldest brother had type 2 diabetes and it was very severe. He was on insulin injection and he loved to eat too, and it was something we battled for a long time. My father had type 2 diabetes as well, so it runs in our family. And, you know, I thought, okay, I'm going to try. I would have eggs and potatoes and sausage, for example, as a breakfast/lunch meal. And I thought, well, let me see if I can cut out the potatoes. And when I did the one day at a time type of approach, and potatoes are now gone for me. I don't eat them anymore.
Awesome.
So this, at this point, and then that's when I heard the term carnivore and people were eating red meat. Now, I was one of those people that is old enough to remember the war on fat, the war on cholesterol, the war on red meat, you know, all of that stuff. But, you know, I keep hearing the stuff about red meat being so bad for you. And I had a battle on my hands because I love beef. I love burgers, you know. So how do I handle this? And another thing that helped me a great deal was, for for some reason on my YouTube feed, a video came up from Dr. Robert Lustig, L-U-S-T-I-G. And he talked about children with diabetes and fatty liver. I mean, look here. Mm. And the incredible harm that sugar does. He is very, very determined to help people understand that sugar is just very, very bad. And so that kind of helped confirm that I was on the right direction. But I still didn't get it as far as red meat, because there was all this pressure about red meat is bad for you, meat with Mondays, all that stuff. And then a video from Dr. Barry showed up on my feed. And that was amazing to me, because he talked about something called the proper human diet. And I had never heard that term before, but I was a little bit afraid that it was going to be another kind of thing about eat your grain, leafy green vegetables, and all this stuff. He didn't say that at all. He talked about the ancestral appropriateness of eating meat. And he didn't talk about just any meat, red meat, and why red meat made perfect sense, why it was a perfect food to eat nutritionally, and it was a match to the way our ancestors ate and how we were conditioned to eat for thousands of years. And he talked about all the nutrition that was contained within meat from ruminant animals, like a steak or ground beef or duck or, you know, any kind of animal, that there are lots and lots of nutrients that I didn't even know were in red meat. And when he was talking about this, I was looking at the screen and I was thunderstruck. It's like, did I just hear what I just heard? Ain't talking about red meat is good. It's the best thing that you can eat. And I was just stunned. And it was as if a ball and a chain had been cut from my ankle. Because at that point, I understood it's okay. I loved red meat until the tot. And that's okay. All of a sudden, it all makes sense. My love of meat made perfect sense. And
that's awesome.
I brought red meat back into my life. And I have lost, you know, from my initial, my highest weight of like over 200 pounds. Now, I lost some of that before I started the, you know, other eating patterns, you know, the keto and the intermittent fast. But I have lost an additional 30 pounds. And so I'm at my best weight ever since I was a child, actually.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, and the protruding abdomen is gone. And that was like such a victory. I'm so grateful for that. And then I started reading testimonials from other people. I started reading, you know, Homestead Howe and his journey, which was remarkable. And other people's journeys were absolutely amazing. And that kind of got me motivated. I started subscribing to videos and different channels. That's how I found your channel, and that's how I found many, many other channels. So I've got a whole list of subscriptions now. And so I'm convinced that this is the best way for me to eat, and I do not plan to go back. I'm all in for good.
I'm right there with you, Lori. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely the proper human diet. It's definitely... Right. The only way to eat, it's almost a miracle cure for all the years of bad eating and decades of bad eating for many, many people. And really incredible. Yes. So how long ago did you start the carnivore diet?
Well, I've been I do eat like chicken and fish occasionally. So it's not like all ruminant. I'm not like a lion diet yet. Although I'm interested in trying it. I would say probably about a year now. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
Because yeah. I started with the very limited keto, then kind of went to keto board. And now I consider myself essentially carnivore.
Okay, nice, very nice. So have you experienced any drawbacks at all to eating a carnivore diet?
No. The only thing that, the only drawback, if you want to call it that, is that I kind of wonder, you know, since I live alone and I, so I eat a lot of my meals by myself. And at work, I do, you know, eat lunch in the office. And so what I'll do is I'll have some ground beef for a burger and, I don't use the bun. I just, you know, serve up the beef. I put a little bit of butter on it and bread and salt. And, and no one has questioned me so far, but I haven't really been challenged yet as far as going to a big, like, family gathering or something and having people notice that, you know, I'm not eating anything but meat. And, you know, I don't even eat vegetable. And so I guess something I'm a little anxious about is, you know, what am I going to do when people know, why is there not working? Or, don't you want this? Or, come on, have a pizza cake. You know, stuff like that. So, but I think I can handle it because the weird thing is, some people talked about sometimes the craving for the carbs come back. And mm-hmm. it's interesting for me because I have not experienced that.
That's awesome. That's really yeah. cool. So in terms of, so you've had some success with weight loss and things like that.
Yeah.
Is there any other non-scale benefits that you noticed?
Well, I just feel that I've got far more of the body that I really want from a health standpoint, you know, and I feel, you know, kind of liberated from this idea that, you know, well, you should eat this and you should eat that. You know, I know what's best for me. And the nice thing about carnivore for me is that since I have left carbs behind, I look back and I see now that they were a distraction because now when I eat ground beef or I have like beef, butter, and egg bowl together or something like that. I realize how good it is. Beef is delicious. And I didn't appreciate it before because the carbs keep grabbing my attention. But now I can focus on how really tasty so many different meats are. You know, I just was able to love steak again. And,
yes.
you know, and just say, I love ribeye. And and it's okay to love ribeye. It is okay.
Yes. Yeah. I fell into that trap too. You know, eating a standard American diet, you know, having a ribeye every now and then was almost like a treat, you know. You were living like a king for a minute, but while you're eating it, you know, it's like fat is bad, you know, like should I be eating this or not? You know, and now it's absolutely eat as much of that as you want.
I know.
It's healing.
It is healing. And that was one of the critical things I learned in this journey is everything we've been told about fat has been so harmful. Mm. Because we've got saturated fat is bad, you know, margarine is better than butter. That is just an egregious lie because margarine is just horrid and it tastes terrible. and so, you know, and butter has nutrients in it. It really, you know, it's good for you. And, you know, it's been good for me. And, you know, I eat a lot more butter than I did, like, let's say 3 years ago. So why haven't I put on another 30 pounds, you know, with all this
right.
butter? And mm-hmm. so that's the sort of thing that, you know, the more that we can learn about this stuff and the more that we can come to understand it, you know, I think the better off that we'll all be.
Absolutely. For sure.
Yeah.
So in terms of your colon health, so obviously you've experienced eating a standard American diet and now eating carnivore. Is there, you know, what's the the differences in that situation for you? Is it better or worse?
Well, carnivore, actually, I have never had a problem with digesting any meat that I've been eating. So I don't get stomachache. Once in a while, you know, that I remember one of the things that Dr. Barry had taught me was, you know, you eat, you don't worry about portion control. You know, you eat as much as you want until you're what he called comfortably stuffed. And so I had to learn where that breaking point was. Because sometimes I wouldn't eat enough and I'd leave the table hungry and then I'd want to eat something later. Or sometimes, once in a while, I took comfortably stuffed just a little bit too far with bloating and discomfort. But that usually just went away. I could do some yoga or something and usually kind of deal with that. But compared with the digestive issues I was having when I was eating the yucky diet before, there's no comparison.
That's awesome. So you would definitely recommend carnivore over standard American diet for that situation?
Well, I personally would. You know, I mean, everybody, I have heard about vegans who claim that they really do feel good and they're healthy and their blood sugar is perfect. And, you know, if that is the eating pattern that works for them, I respect that just as I would want them to respect my eating pattern. Veganism would not work for me in a million years. I never liked vegetables, never will. I hate salad. And I just feel very liberated saying, I don't like salad. And I know some people do. And I respect that. I don't. That's me.
We're definitely, it seems like we're related because I can't stand any of it either. You know, it's funny because, you know, when I was a kid, well, even into adulthood, it's like, I like vegetables, certain vegetables, but I figured out why now. And I never realized this before. So with the green beans, I like green beans, but only because we always put bacon in it, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And corn, I like corn, but we always put a ton of butter in it, right? So it's like all these vegetables I would love as long as there was some kind of an animal product or whatever. Now I know why. But if I eat them just on their own, it doesn't taste good at all to me whatsoever.
No, it doesn't. And well, when you think about vegetables, I mean, I do like broccoli. You know, I'll eat it, but I can take it or leave it. And green beans, you know, they're okay. But, you know, if I never ate another green bean for the rest of my life, that would be fine. And carrots, they're okay. So some vegetables were tolerable for me. But, you know, given the anti-fat messaging that we have been hearing over the years, you know, I felt, no, I can't put any butter on meats because that's bad for you. That's really bad. So I forced myself to eat these veggies with no butter, no nothing. And I didn't like it. I was forcing myself to eat something I didn't like. And that's another definite advantage for me of carnivore. I don't have to do that anymore, you know, and it's just nice to be able to enjoy your food. You should be able to enjoy your food. You know, it should be both enjoyable and good for health-wise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's great. So have you experienced any differences in your productivity?
Yeah.
Eating carnivore. Okay.
Yeah. I, you know, people talk about brain fog being lifted. And, you know, one of the things, the self-esteem issues I had going all through my childhood and young adulthood, and even up to today to some point, was I never felt that I was a very smart person. And I still struggle with that. But I think I can see things more clearly now. You know, I feel like I can kind of understand what are my truths and what are not. And that helps me both in my work and just, you know, dealing with things personally. You know, I can get a clearer picture of what what a situation going on. And I feel more capable of being honest with myself about that because I'm not being distracted by food. You know, I'm not reaching for food and I'm not having the damaging effect of the sugar and the carbs to mess up my thinking, you know, and distract me. In fact, you know, I think it was somebody called it Hippocrates, I think it said, let food be the medicine. And I thought, you know, there's a parallel to that. Let food be thy treat. And I thought, you know, one of the things about carnivore was that I can be honest about what is best for me to eat. And that removes a tremendous mental distraction. I don't have to think about that anymore. And I can put that brain energy to better use.
I love that. Yeah, that's incredible that just eating cows and such a profound effect, you know, in your life in so many different ways.
Yeah.
So what does a day look like for you in terms of your meals?
Oh, okay. Well, I don't have my first meal until around 12 o'clock noon. So in the morning, I will have one or two cups of green tea. And, you know, there's some thought about whether coffee or tea are bad for you. I've never been a coffee drinker, but I've been a tea drinker. And, you know, the idea is that, you know, tea is weeds and that's plants and that's not necessarily good for you. But I am sticking with the green tea right now because it kind of, you know, it tastes good and it does have some, you know, benefits to it. So I'll have a cup of green tea and then around 12 o'clock noon, I will have my first meal, whether it's going to be a bunless burger or maybe some beef and eggs. I bring eggs to work. We have a refrigerator in the kitchen so I can whip up some scrambled eggs. And okay. I have to tell you, I make pretty good scrambled eggs. And
nice.
I put lots of butter in them, and thank goodness for eggs because, you know, they're loaded with nutrition and they got lots of protein and they taste good, you know, and, you know, because food tasting good, you know, is important to me. I don't want to force myself to eat something that just doesn't taste good. So I feel very fortunate that I can have a nice carnivore meal with some eggs on the side. And depending on how much I eat at lunch, if I feel comfortably full enough to go for the rest of the day and go OMAD, I will do that. Once in a while, I will do a second helping of meat, maybe about 4 to 5 hours later. And then by 5:30 p.m., I'm done eating until 12 o'clock in the day.
Oh, nice. Yeah, so you're naturally fasting then.
And it does work for me. And I always know I can have a second meal as long as I stick to that eating window. And I don't eat anything between like 5:30 p.m. and maybe 12 o'clock noon the next day.
Okay, very cool. Very cool. Let's see. So you had mentioned before that you've thought about possibly doing the lion diet. Has that ever been a serious consideration for you?
Well, yes, I would like to try the lion diet. And the reason that I'm not going to try it for a little while yet is because right now my work schedule is extremely busy and there's, you know, we've got a lot of deadlines and stress and things like that. And I want to kind of give myself a chance if I do the lion diet to make sure that I can succeed at it and that I can have more opportunities to cook like steaks and stuff at home. I'm in a transitory housing situation right now, so I don't have a real kitchen yet. So I think once I get a kitchen, I'll be in a much better position to get the lion diet a try. You know, people have talked, you know, very positively about it, and I subscribe to a couple of channels. People have done the lion diet for months and years. Mm-hmm. But I'm not quite ready to start it yet.
Okay. So is it just out of curiosity, or is there another reason why you may want to try that?
I think it's mostly just curiosity. I mean, I appreciate the nutritional benefit that I realized from what I'm doing now, but I just thought it would be interesting to see what else might come from that, you know, and how I would like that pattern of eating. Maybe the lion's diet wouldn't work on a long-term basis for me, but I just thought it'd be worth investigating with giving it maybe 30 days or days or something, you know, once things calm down a little bit in my work life. That's definitely on the agenda for me.
That's awesome. So you went from the carb queen to to considering only eating ruminant meat. That's incredible that the carnivore diet has allowed you to even have that thought process.
Yeah. That is my number one point of gratitude, because I never thought in a million years that I could even do keto. I just could not imagine my life without all these carbohydrates in my diet. And I look back and it's like, holy cow. You know, that was just so ingrained in me, so hardwired almost. And here I am, no carbs. And that's amazing. I put, wow, this carbohydrate, America, had to take her crown off. Fine, I tossed that crown away, no problem.
That's awesome. I love that, for sure. So if let's say, for instance, somebody is looking to possibly start the carnivore diet, they're in a situation that you were in, you know, they're addicted to carbs, they can't see themselves doing anything else, and they're looking into this way of eating, you know, what would be kind of your suggestions for that person?
Okay, well, I think, first of all, I would tell them that, you know, I made a major change in my eating patterns, and it was definitely a process that didn't happen overnight. I did that because I felt that I had to. And there are many ways that you can move to a healthier eating pattern. Maybe carnivore certainly not the only answer, but it was the only answer for me. In fact, you know, some people say, well, carnivore is the right thing for me. And I agree with that. It's like, I'm not doing just the right thing. I'm doing it. And so I would try to personalize a little bit to help reassure people that, you know, this is a big change. And for me, it realized tons of benefit. But every person is different. And the one wonderful thing about this for me is that if you're stuck in this standard American diet train wreck, there's a way out. And
absolutely,
that's the important thing. Yeah.
I love that. Awesome. So is there any closing thoughts that you want to share with anyone? Oh, you got a friend there.
Yeah, this is one of my little carnivore companions.
Nice.
I'm sorry, what could you repeat the question, please?
Is there any closing thoughts that you want to share, or anything at all that before we wrap it up?
Sure. I just want to say how much I appreciate all of the people who have shared their health and diet journey. You know, I've heard tons of inspiring stories, including yours. I've heard, you know, you've probably heard about Bill Knott, the one that Carrie befriended. His story is inspiring. He is just, you know, a very kind person, very determined and committed and focused. And I have heard story after story like this, and I have heard so many examples of compassion and support, and I am extremely thankful to everyone who has helped someone along their way and encouraged people. And that's what I want to do. You know, I never thought I could get away from that horrid diet. I never thought I could. I thought it was junk. And it turns out it wasn't. And that is the blessing. That is the liberation. And so there is a way out. And when I get my channel set up, I'm still, you know, trying to get the courage to really go after it and do it, get it up live. That's what I want to do. I just want to tell people that there's, you know, there is joy in this and there is life in this. And we're all in it together. We can be in it together. And the more that we encourage and support one another, the better not only we each will be, but we will be together. And one of these days, you know, we're going to feel a tiny impact on the world in general, because I really want to make sure that people always have access to the healthy meat that they want to eat and need to eat. You know, I don't want an anti-meat philosophy to, you know, deny us the food that we know is for us.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. And definitely looking forward to your channel and watching some of your videos. And, you know, because you're going to be able to reach people that I can't reach, and Bill can't reach, and Carrie can't reach, and even Dr. Barry can't reach. So you have your own unique style. And yep, definitely looking forward to that for sure.
Okay. Yeah. I'll be sure to let everybody know. You know, if that's going to be a huge step for me, because I am such an introvert. So this is even this conversation that we're having now, that I mean, I've loved it. But it's a big step for me.
That's awesome. Yeah, it was for me too. You know, I'm a photographer, professionally. So I stay on one side of the camera and other people stay on the other side. So that was intentional. And I would never be caught on camera. I mean, even if it saved my life, I would not be on camera. So that's a testament to, you know, the carnivore diet and how it removes anxiety and just worries and cares. And it's incredible.
Yeah. I hear you all the way on that, you know. And I just want to thank you so much for what you do. I know you and Carrie are headed up to Canada to talk to Rancher Maggie. And, you know, I wish you the best on that trip. She's an amazing lady and, you know, she deserves our support. And so I wish you the best on that trip.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And Lori, I thank you so much for spending the time with me today to let everybody know your journey and how carnivore diet has helped you. And I really appreciate, you know, the insight that you've given everybody. And no doubt you've given people hope that they can either start this journey or continue this journey. And I thank you so much for being here with me. It was a blessing and an honor.
Oh, it was my pleasure. It was very much an honor to be invited to the interview. Thank you so much.
Awesome. All right, Lori, we'll end the recording here and we'll connect soon. So thank you very much, Lori.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to Carnivore Today. We're one of the most unique podcasts on the web as we explore not only the carnivore diet, but the misconceptions about it as well along the way. There are so many benefits from this extremely healthy and fulfilling diet. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find the website at carnivoretoday.com. Also find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Carnivore Today. See you next time.